I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Today we are using the trouble in our lives to seek and destroy the sin that's in our hearts. Because with God, even adversity works out to our advantage because God is good. Amen?
Amen.
And that is how we know that all things work together for good to those who do what? Love God. Okay. Awesome. Sermon over. Let's be done. No, there's more. The big question then becomes this. If everything good hinges on our love of God, how do you know if you're full of it? The love of God, that is. Okay, yeah, okay. How do you know that you're full of it? Because you are full of something. That's just a fact of life. You are full of something. Everybody here has to live for something. Because something has to give our lives purpose, because we won't do anything without some good reason, right? We need something to be chasing down. So all of us, without exception, we all search for the most reasonable reason to live life. And whatever we choose, that right there becomes the desire of our heart. It's what we set ourselves to. That is what we're pursuing. And as each life is lived out in pursuit of its desire, every single reason, each reason reveals its quality by what it produces in that life. And this idea is not new. This has come up in a lot of different places outside of the church and everything. One of the people who echoed this idea is award-winning, best-selling novelist David Foster Wallace, who lost his lifelong struggle to find that reason in 2008 when he committed suicide. And although he came so close to making Jesus his whole reason two times in his life, he talks about it, so close to just giving it over, he couldn't quite bring himself to commit fully. But before his death, he hinted at this struggle in a now very famous commencement speech that he gave to graduates. I want to share part of it. It's just, you can just hear it. He says, there is actually no such thing as atheism. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. And pretty much anything you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, then you'll never have enough. You worship your own body and you'll always feel ugly. You worship power and will feel weak and afraid. You worship your intellect and you will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. And doesn't that just break your heart? You could tell he knows that firsthand. But it just breaks your heart to hear someone so close. He gets the principle because largely he's right. Down here, no earthly purpose has ever proven to produce the one thing that we all really want out of life. More life. Yeah. That's what we want, right? But that right there, that reason, that is the reason. That's why God's word steps in to spell things out and remind us how things work in this world. It says, whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Now, whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, later on, at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that's it's so sad to see the people who gave up. Because you see, where David Foster Wallace grew weary and gave up, understandably, but you can't call it quits. He grew weary and gave up. Right there is where Christian life continues, by making the Spirit's desire our reason to live. That's the goal. So that means it is critical to confirm that we're filling our hearts with what the Spirit wants. Just listen to how important Scripture says it is. It says, above all else. You listen when it says something like that. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. So, since it is, obviously, absolutely imperative, how do we positively know that we got the right stuff in our heart? It's critical, right? Scripture just told us, though. If you want to know, Scripture just told us. Everything we do, this is how it works. If everything we do flows from our heart, well, then we can just take a look at our lives to discover what it is that's filling our heart. And so to follow Scripture's analogy, say it this way. What we plant in our heart is what we grow in our lives, okay? And if we want to be sure that our true desires are, in fact, spiritual seeds coming to fruition, all we have to do is check the produce. That's it, right? Just see what you're growing. Take a look at the fruit. Because your life is, no matter what, even if you're not trying, your life is always producing something. But the fruit of the Spirit that you want, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. Oh, and self-control. Yeah, that's in there too. Because listen, it's a very basic, simple principle that we all instinctually understand. No good tree bears bad fruit, right? Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Therefore, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. That's how you can tell what kind of tree it is. There's apples hanging from it. Good chance it's an apple tree, right? That's how that works, okay? And likewise, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Okay? That's where it comes from. You plant it in there, it comes out there. So, knowing all that, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, aka make sure that you are being filled with the Spirit. Because one leads to the other. So, okay, I'm harping on this. This is a big point I'm gonna just keep making over and over. You get this, all right? Wise living and Spirit filling are two sides of the same coin, which means everything comes down to quality control in the produce department, all right? That's what we have to just focus on. But, all right, I want you to follow me on this one here. If we need to have the right heart to see eternal life, and to see the right heart, we have to have the right fruit, that begs the question, what's the best way to see our fruit? Okay, because we need to know what's the best way to see our fruit. Because love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control aren't always visible. That is, they're hard to see while you're watching Netflix or pumping gas, right? You're not just sitting there, oh, look at that guy faithfully pump gas, right? You don't get to see them all the time. They're not really evident. So how can we get a good, consistent look at all that fruit so that we can make sure that we're on the right track? Well, that brings us right back to what Aaron and Bruce have been talking about the last couple weeks here, okay? They've been talking about two things, really: facing our fears and testing our mettle. So to explain, I want to give you this analogy that I heard that I absolutely love. And I want you all to imagine I have a glass of water. Are you there? Okay. Imagine I have this glass of water, big old 32 ounces, ice cold. Okay. With me? Here we go. And then I shake it. What happens? Yeah, don't be so sure of yourself. What happens if I shake it up? It's going to spill out, right? It's going to spill out, right?
Right.
Okay, here we go. All right. Why is it going to spill out? Because so many reasons, yes. Yeah. Well, because you're going to say our instinctive answer is water spilled out because you shook it, Noah. Stop shaking the glass, you won't spill so much. Okay, but my question is this. What if I had a glass full of milk? Would water spill out of that?
No.
No, because shaking does not spill water. It spills contents. So the more correct answer is water spilled from the glass because water filled up the glass. Got it? It's very simple logic. You can only spill what you fill, all right? And when stuff gets shaken up, whatever spills out reveals what filled it up. Well, the same goes for us, okay? The exact same principle goes for us. Whatever fills us spills from us when life gets shaken up, okay? You can't spill out joy if there was none in there. So if you're concerned, and you should be, if you're concerned with the contents of your container, that is wonderful news because it's a golden opportunity to actually see what it is that you're full of. And in the same way, to return to the Bible's analogy, if we want to check our produce, a little adversity shakes the fruit loose from our tree. That's good. It just shakes it up, and you can see it right there in that moment. So my question to you is this. Are you thanking the Lord for giving you the opportunity to check your heart through all of the turmoil in your uncomfortable, unstable life?
Nope.
You're a better person than I am then. Probably not. Probably not. Maybe in our better moments we do, like when we think it through. But it's not our initial reaction. It's just not. We're not thankful for it immediately. It's more of a why me situation. But that's normal. That is normal. That's our default state that we're trying to correct because Christian curiosity makes it really easy to forget that life isn't about questioning God. It's about God questioning us. And we got to keep that straight. And although it is a very common mistake, it is a huge mistake because our hearts need to be constantly questioned to root out all of the bad seeds that were growing into bad trees until we get it right. We have to. We got to constantly be checking that fruit. It's a lot like the story of the bird and the lumberjack, an age-old tale. Because you see, this logger goes to mark all the trees that are going to be cut down the next day, and he comes across this little, cute, adorable mama bird trying to build a nest in one of the trees that he's in the middle of marking. And so knowing that she's unaware of her mistake, how could she possibly know? She's just a bird, doesn't know that he's going to cut it down. His compassion kicks in. And he spins his axe around the other way, and he just thumps the tree until everything falls out. This bird and all the nest that she's building, everything. And then she flies away, and he's like, okay, good, I got her out of that tree. But then he sees that she's just started again in another one of the marked trees. Just go back to work, just putting all this effort into building something that he knows he's gonna chop down. So the lumberjack follows and this knocks everything down again. And after chasing her through a dozen different trees, the bird, who's gotta be thinking at this point, why does this lumber jerk love torturing innocent birds? Well, at that point, the mama bird finally flies up to a rock ledge where at last she could nest in peace. And the moral of the story is, the moral of the story is we are all up a tree until we build on the rock. Amen?
Amen?
Because the fact of the matter is every tree in this world is coming down. Amen?
Amen?
And the effect of that fact is everything built on them will be lost. And if we can't see ourselves making that same stupid, oblivious mistake, it is actually incredibly kind to shake our trees until we change our ways. That's the nicest thing you can do to someone who's about to waste all their effort. Because with each adversity that you encounter, we are prompted to ponder, where am I going wrong? What am I doing? Why is this not working? And that right there is the key question that every single fruit inspector needs to obsess over. Because, I hate to break it to you, but I hope you know this, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. It's because it's hard to spot rotten fruit right away. It's not always easy. Sometimes we mistakenly identify anger as goodness, You know, no, it's righteousness. It's not anger. No, sometimes we can mistakenly identify anger as goodness or idolatry as love. And it's largely because us Christians can be a little bit too eager to confirm our eternal life, right? It's that confirmation bias. I want to see it so bad. This is good fruit. This is good fruit. Look closer. Check it. Double check it. Because we got to get it right. It's vital that we actually get it right, not just believe that we got it right. There's a big difference, okay? You can think you got it right and you can actually get it right. And we need to get it right. Because as Paul points out, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. Okay, sobering thought. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It's the Lord who judges, right? And so you don't know what you don't know. All your fruit can be good and you can still be a bad farmer. Because a crop of perfect potatoes doesn't make you a good apple farmer. Apples make you a good apple farmer, all right? And in the exact same way, all the patience in the world doesn't mean that you're peaceful, all right? Bad fruit isn't the only sign of sin. Missing fruit also means we're missing the mark. Because if we're aiming for what the Spirit wants to be the desire of our lives, if we're aiming for what the Spirit wants, the Spirit doesn't want any good seed to go unsown, right? Wants all of them. That's why they're listed off. You need all these fruits. That's the fruit salad that you want. So thankfully, God is committed to constantly shaking things up to keep us questioning our ways, even when we think that our fruit is just fine. And if you don't believe me, there's a whole wonderful, terrible book of the Bible that lays it out. It's the story of Job. Everyone familiar with him? Poor, wonderful guy, right? Job, because Job was blameless and upright, and he feared God and shunned evil. Yay, Job. And yet, God agrees to let him lose all his kids, wealth, health, comfort and control without any warning. And in response to the tragedies, the good seeds in his heart are easily seen in his speech. You can see them from his heart into words. Job said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. But may the name of the Lord be praised." Well done. And in all this, we're told, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. He didn't. But as the suffering went on day after day, not just him, but everyone around him, everyone started asking why. Why? And after a lot of discussion about it, Job starts to get testy and he blurts out, "Oh, that I had someone to hear me. I sign now my defense. Let the Almighty answer me." Big mistake. Big mistake right there. Right there, old flawless fruit himself shows what he's missing by making this huge mistake. And it's this: he's basing his whole case on the fruit that only he can see. It's only that fruit. And he's not considering the possibility of a deficiency that he can't see. He says, "Look, all my fruit's good. How am I in trouble? This makes absolutely no sense." Not considering that you're not seeing everything. So in the middle of his misery, God flips the script to kindly remind him exactly how his plan works. And then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm, as he frequently does, and he says, "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me, buddy." And after a couple of chapters of questions that are way above his pay grade, Job finally realizes being righteous takes more than just not doing the wrong thing. It takes doing everything right. And here's the big problem with that. That is impossible. That is impossible for us humans who don't know what it is that we don't know. We can't be sure. We can't do it all perfectly because we don't even know what it all is. But when you come to know that, like Job did, just knowing that alone, then Job answered the Lord and said, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. Tap out. That right there was righteous.
Yes.
Because in that moment, Job learned it is not about what we know, but it's about who we know. Because only the Creator can fully understand His creation. We just can't. We're part of it. So the question I have for you this morning, have you put your hand over your mouth?
That's good.
Have you? Really think about it. Or do you talk about things that maybe you don't know all about? Until we stop subconsciously believing that we can do life right on our own, we're challenging God's authority. And it can be seen. You can see us thinking that we know it all, and we can see it spilling out of us in every single secretly selfish statement that we make, and every subtly judgmental action that we take. And we say and do a lot of those things on a daily basis. Watch for them. Watch for them. We got to stop them. Like Job, we have to empty ourselves of every desire other than God, because the closest we can come to ever knowing perfect is just knowing who is perfect. And because that relationship is everything, that relationship is the Spirit's number one desire, Jesus came to us to give us all the opportunity for the exact same one-on-one that Job had with God. He wants to give us all that same thing. Because you see, I want you to hear this now. Job lost all of his kids, wealth, health, comfort, and control. But don't you ever forget this. So will you. So will you, so will I, every single one of us. That is part of every single person's story down here. It's just a matter of time, but everything that you have ever worked for will be lost. Everyone who you've ever loved will die. And you won't get to decide when or where. Welcome to church, right? Isn't that the best news you ever heard? It's the truest news you'll ever hear. You don't get to decide. Every tree is coming down here, guys. This ain't it. And you don't know when or where it's happening. The only choice that we have in suffering is how to respond. Because that is its whole purpose. It is our big God-given opportunity to see if we're growing the love of God that leads to life before we come face to face with death, before that tree comes down. That is so kind and loving. So I'm going to ask again, if everything good hinges on our love of God, how do you know if you're full of it? Good news. Here's the good news. You ready for the good news? It's actually the easiest part of the whole thing. It's actually super easy to know this, because we're told throughout the Bible so many different, they just harp on it over and over again, but here's one of them. Anyone who loves God, which we're hoping we do, right? Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. There's your spiritual dipstick. You want to know what's going on inside. You want to see how it happens outside. It's right there. Loving your brother and sister. If the love of the Lord is in your heart, it grows in your life as the love of others. So you doing that? Your life is gonna get shaken time and time again. That is a promise. But it's getting shaken time and time again, so you can check what you produce for any flawed or missing fruit. It's so that you can keep looking at it day after day. Maybe you got your dream job that you always wanted to work for, and then maybe you lose your dream job just to see if your joy was real or if it was tied to that job. Maybe you lose an argument. Lord knows I have several times, once or twice. Maybe you lose an argument so that you can check the quality of your gentleness. Or maybe you'll lose control to see the state of your faithfulness. But regardless of what happens and how it happens, if your life isn't producing a sacrificial, selfless, and sincere love for others, then you need a new tree. Okay? I want you to really hear that, all right? I mean, if your life is not, and I mean on the daily, because things are getting shaken all the time, if your life is not producing a sacrificial, selfless, and sincere, real, not fake, not, it looks like I love them, a sincere love for others, and that means the people sitting right next to you right now, then you're in trouble. You're in the wrong tree. You're growing the wrong tree, and you need a new one. And you're only going to get a new tree. That only happens when you put your hand over your mouth and you let God question you by your fruit. And then you love him enough to trust that every time your life gets shaken, he is just leading you back into his presence as the only rock where you can finally nest in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, oh boy, we just love you. We love you so much, and we trust you as the only reason to live life that can produce more life. And the Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us grow what you want by questioning, revealing, and then replanting the desires of our heart. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving the love that enables us to love like you while we very slowly learn to trust that all of our adversity is leading us to our eternal life back home with you. And to that, I hope we can all say, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.